الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وأفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم Honorable علماء الكرام Respected elders and brothers, beloved friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a governor under the rule and the reign of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, the second Khalifa of Islam. On one occasion, he writes to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, O Umar, I receive your letters, but I encounter a difficulty that sometimes when referring to the letters, they are not dated. As a result, we don't know which one came first, which one came second, which one came third, what were the sequence of the instructions, and this creates a difficulty for us. So immediately Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu held a council with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he asked them, from which year should we start counting the Islamic calendar, the Islamic year? So someone said, Arrikh bil Mab'ath. Let us count now from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam started his mission. And another one said something, and someone said something. And someone suggested, Arrikh bil Hijrah. Why don't we start counting from the time of the Hijrat of Rasulullah? This caught the attention of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Al-Hijratu farraqat bayn al-haqqi wal-batil. That Hijrat was a very, very significant event in the history of Islam. So we will commence the counting of our Islamic year from the Hijrat. That was the 17th year after Hijrah. And they started to count the Islamic year from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made Hijrat. Today, it is the 3rd of Muharram, 1448 years after the Hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many things that we can discuss, that we need to discuss. Let us see how far we get. The second question that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked was, when should we start the calendar? One is the year, and one is the sequence of months. So from which month should we say, this is the first month, this is the second month? So someone said, let us start with Ramadan. Someone said, let us start with this month, let us start with that month. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, let us start with the month of Muharram. Because the month of Muharram is a month where the Hujjaj return from Hajj. It is a new start. And really Muharram was a new start in the annals of history for Islam. It was a revolution. How was it a revolution? Every day in the life of Sahaba was a challenge in Makkah Mukarramah, in the early days of Islam. 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, beset with trials, with tyranny, with oppression, with problems, with difficulties, because they were dominated and they were ruled by people, the Quraysh, predominantly the non-Muslims, idol worshippers. That left no stone unturned in harming the Muslims. They thought and devised different ways of torture for the Muslims, the weak amongst them especially. It was a woman, whether it was a youngster, whether it was a man, any way possible to harm them, and they were ready to beat them up, they were ready to harm them, and in extreme cases, they were ready to kill them, beat them to death. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum underwent all these difficulties until one of the most difficult decisions came that didn't leave them with a choice also. And that is to save your iman. You will have to compulsorily, it was compulsory, necessary. It wasn't a choice. Every able man, woman, every able leave, not just any place, not just any land. You and I, we go to Makkah Mukarrama. We look at the Baytullah. Something happens in the heart of a person. Allah, you brought me to your house. Actually, spiritually, something very great is happening. We don't have the eyes to see that nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is descending on his house. That mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is descending on his house. That person is looking at Allah ta'ala's house, is getting his mercies. That one is reading salah towards Allah ta'ala's house, is getting 40 mercies. That person that is making tawaf is getting his 60. This one is looking, is getting his 20. So he can't see it physically with the eyes, but he's feeling it in the heart. There is a current that is running from Baytullah to his heart. Now he's looking at Allah's house. Where he's come from? He's come from his land. He's come into the Masjidul Haram. This is Awwal Bayt, the first house. That nur, that mercy strikes him in his heart. And he bursts out crying. He says, Allah Ya Rabb, and something happens in his heart. Now that is you and I. Where we were born, in the southern tip of Africa. Or we were born somewhere else in the world. And now we go there and the heart is attached like a magnet. Mathabatan linnas, to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person comes back, he says, when I'm going to return. You know, on this, now we're diverting. The Kaaba Sharif complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complained to Allah. Please, qalla zuwari. Allah, very few people are visiting me. Qalla zuwari. Allah said, don't worry, I'll create a nation. A time will come when the people will stick to you like a pigeon sticks to its eggs. When it's incubating those eggs, sitting on those eggs. Just like that, they won't want to leave you. They'll be restless to leave you. So that is the effect of Kaaba Sharif on people that are not born there. Now imagine those people, those children that grew up running in the courtyard of the Kaaba Sharif on the Mataf. Their houses were right there. Today, the hotels are quite far away. Person has to walk a certain distance to get into the Haram. So at that time, it wasn't like how we see it today. It was open. The houses were right there. Now imagine those children when they woke up in the morning and they went outside the house. Allah's house, Baytullah, is in front of them. What love they had. Hijrat comes. The people tortured them and tortured them and tortured them because of the iman. When they had to make a decision that now we'll have to separate and leave Allah's house. That was one difficult decision. Besides that, that house they were born in, that house that they knew to be their everything, that business that was sustaining them, those friends and family, those mountains that they played in, those valleys that they ran in and sat in and ate and had fun, everything now, they hurry. They had to leave it secretly. They had to run. And how, we'll explain shortly. They had to run with their little possessions to save their lives and to save the iman. They had to run and they had to go. But because this was for Allah, they were prepared to make any sacrifice. This is Allah's command. This is Allah's decision. When Allah has commanded and Allah has decided, then I will be prepared to make that sacrifice for Allah. Let us go a few centuries before that. Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam, leave your family. That time there was no Kaaba. That time there were no friends and family. That time there was no home. That time there was no water even. No source of food. At that time, Allah's command, Allahu amaraka bihada. Allah commanded, okay, I'm ready for it. When it was nothing also, Allah said, go there, I'm ready for it. When Allah developed it, Kaaba Sharif was in front, Allah's command came. Now my command is, leave it and move under the circumstances. Leave it, you love it, but leave it and move. This is khair for you. So they packed up, and one by one they started leaving. One by one they started leaving. Umar radiallahu anhu was Umar radiallahu anhu. He was one that stood up, one man. And he said, I am not going to leave quietly, stealthily, hide and duck and dive. He went and announced it in the haram, that everybody must know that I'm leaving. And if you have a problem with it, the meeting point is after the mountain. Come on the other side, we can discuss it there. That was Umar radiallahu anhu. Not everyone is Umar. Many people had to leave and run quietly and stealthily. So that was a fard hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this to the sahaba subsequently, la hijrata ba'd al-yawm. That hijrat is cancelled, it is finished, there is no more hijrat. But there is one hijrat, brothers, that is for every Muslim. And we will speak about that in the end, and it is very, very apt in the current climate and conditions that we find ourselves in. But I want to explain, expound, and impress upon you what sacrifices the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were prepared to make for this physical hijrah to save the iman. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is in his home. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit him every day, either in the morning or in the evening. During the day, the Arabs, because of the extreme heat, wouldn't come out of their homes. It was a time of siesta. So people would be in the shade, in the homes, resting. They wouldn't come out midday. If a person came out midday, that means something has happened. So Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes midday and knocks on the door of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma jaa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadihi sa'a illa li amrin hadath. Something happened. That is why Nabi alayhi salam is knocking on my door at this time, at this odd time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the house. He said, anybody that is here, tell them to leave. I need to have a private meeting and discussion with you. He said, it's only my daughters, Aisha radiallahu anha, Asma radiallahu anha. He said, Allah has given me permission to leave and to migrate. Allah has given me permission. The immediate response of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, As-suhbata ya Rasulullah. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please can... Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission. He started to cry. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu said, I never knew that a man could cry out of extreme happiness until I saw my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying. Then I realized that a man can cry out of joy. What was the situation, brothers? It was a situation, you're leaving Kaaba Sharif. You are leaving your homeland. You're leaving your business. You're leaving your family. You're going to a land. You never make previous arrangements. My business is set up there. I got a home, I got a villa, I got a mansion, I got something for me. You never made arrangements. You don't know where you're going to live. Where are you going to get your next meal? But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is crying out of happiness. Why? Ulama say he is crying that he could serve Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could be of service to deen. You and I, brothers, let us ask ourselves. Some people cry, why always me? Anytime there is a problem, then I am called up. Every time that there is a difficulty, I must help. Every time there is some function or some program, I must be there to assist. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I want to be there. I want to be there. How I want to be there? As they are moving. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sometimes in front, sometimes behind, sometimes on the right, sometimes on the left. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him close. Oh Abu Bakr, why are you doing this? He said, Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I feel that there is danger coming from the front, I go in front. If I feel that there is danger from the back, I go in the back. My mind tells me maybe from the right side there will be some attack, I go on the right. Maybe from the left, I go on the left. Oh Abu Bakr, do you prefer my life over yours? Do you prefer my life over yours? He said, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that our attitude, my brothers? When it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا كَانَ كَرِيهَةً أُدْعَى لَهَا وَإِذَا يُحَاثُ الْحَيْثُ يُدْعَى جُنْدُبُ. So one poet, he says, that in difficult times I am called. When there's a dawat and there's a nice lavish meal, someone else is called. That's not the attitude of a Muslim. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I'm ready. I'm ready to help. I'm ready. I'm ready to serve. Whatever is required, I'm ready. I'm there with you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, our attitude with the sunnah, that I am ready to fulfill every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this my Nabi did it. Allah's special mercy and help will be with me in fulfilling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will be with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam in Jannah. Do we view it like that? Do we see it like that? That was one sacrifice Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made. And his family also made. And they left in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many incidents took place. We are seeing our Islamic calendar. It started with Hijrat. For us to revise this lesson, come Zulhijjah, we're talking about sacrifice and qurbani for deen. Not making qurbani of deen. I said before and I'll say again, on the day of qurbani, of slaughtering for Allah, on that day many families, many people make qurbani of the laws of deen also. We slaughter animals, with that we slaughter Allah Ta'ala's deen. Once again, we have to revise this lesson of sacrificing for Allah's deen. A call was made. Each person reflect, look it in himself, that we need to fill the masjids for Fajr and for Isha to protect our dunya and our deen. That we fulfill that call. Not for me, brothers. To protect our deen and to protect our dunya. A call was made that the masjid must be filled like Jummah for Fajr from last week to this week. I don't think that call was adhered to, was followed. Let us ask ourselves, what alarm are we waiting for to sound before we start waking up for the Fajr Salah and coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just now before Jummah, one of my friends phoned me. He said, Maulana, I got this problem, that problem, that problem, this problem. So I woke up for Tahajjud Salah this morning. Alhamdulillah. Sometimes Allah gives a problem for a person to wake up. To wake up for Tahajjud. To wake up for the Fajr Salah. But if we're not waking up, brothers, what is going to wake us up? Look at the sacrifice that was given. We talk about these things. 18 Zulhijjah. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu leaves this world. Over 80 years old. Fasting, reciting the Quran, but there's a mob outside his house thirsty for his blood. They scale the wall, some of them, they come into his house, they disrespect his wife Naila, and they make him shaheed. In a very brutal manner, they made him shaheed. Today when you go to Baqi, he's not in the front, where you'll find the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the aunts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will have to walk a distance to go in, to find Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu where he is buried. Look at the history, what sacrifices were given. Why? For the deen of Allah. He stood on his roof before they made him shaheed. And he said, Oh Muslims, I ask you, the time when the Muslims had no water, I bought that bare aroma. First I paid 12,000 dirhams. Then I paid 8,000 dirhams. Dirhams are made for the Muslims to get water. Do you accept? Do you deny? They said, yes, we accept that you did it. And he started counting all the things that he had done for deen. Not to show off, to make them understand. But those same people, among them some people, attacked him and they killed him. Sacrifice was given for deen. The gardens of Islam was watered with the blood of the Sahaba and the pious. Come to the end of Dhul-Hijjah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is standing on the musalla for salah. Straighten yourself, straighten yourselves. Make sure that you are straight, no gaps in between. He would physically go in between the safs and make sure that the safs are straight. He just started his salah. Allahu Akbar. Abu Lulu comes. Lengthy incident. I just want to make you understand that this period of time wants us to understand a certain message. Abu Lulu comes with a knife dagger that he made himself, poisoned, double-edged. He stabs Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, in salah, qatalani hadha al-kalb. This dog came and killed me. He moves. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu comes forward. As the man is leaving, he's stabbing people. As he is leaving, until someone threw something over his head. And then now he knew he was caught, so he committed suicide. Abu Lulu. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he passes away, on the 1st of Muharram. Many lessons, brothers. I'm not digressing too much. Understand, this period has a lot of lessons for us to take. Lessons of sacrifice. Then we come to Muharram. In the month of Muharram, very famously known, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Karbala was made a shaheed. For what, brothers? For his dunya? No. For the deen of Islam. For the unity of the Muslims. He went to make peace. He went to resolve a matter to bring peace among the Muslims. Uthman radiallahu anhu himself, for the same sake, Sahaba came and said, we will fight. We will give our lives. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came. Great, great Sahaba radiallahu anhu came. Just give us the order. He said, no. I don't want any for my sake. This was the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They gave their lives. Other people's lives must be saved. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu went. Treacherously he was deceived. He was made shaheed in Karbala in a very brutal manner in this month of Muharram. Muharram, going back, it was that revolution that took place when the Sahaba were going through extreme amount of hardship in Makkah Mukarrama. They had to go against their emotions and leave Makkah Mukarrama and go to Medina Munawwara on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the iman. Many Sahaba gave different sacrifices. We spoke about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the lesson that we can take from there. There was a blind Sahabi, Hazrat Damra radiallahu anhu. Blind. Allah had excused him. He was ill. He knew he's excused. He could have found a loophole. We sometimes look for excuses not to do something. 100 ulama mufti said, you must do it. One Maulana, one mufti in the... Why it's convenient for us. But Sahaba looked for excuses to fulfill Allah's command. Hazrat Damra radiallahu anhu, he said, I'm a man of wealth. I got slaves. I'll make a plan to make Allah happy. I will make a plan to make my Allah happy. He told his slaves, put me on the mount. Mount me. He used his wealth. And he started moving slowly because he was blind and he was ill. And slowly, slowly he came close to Tan'im, which is not very, very far out of Makkah Mukarrama, and he passes away in Tan'im. He passed away in the path of Allah. Allah says, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ عَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah praises him in the Quran Majid. That person that came out of his home, مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ. Then maut came to him. فَقَدْ وَقَعَ عَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah says his reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secured. Umm Salma, she gives her report. And there are many incidents like this. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, Umm Salma, great, great Sahaba, what they went through. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, I'm just looking at time, I don't know which one to explain. Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha, the eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi is the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, captured in Badr. He's captured in Badr. Now imagine, due to circumstances, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's 2 years on, and she can't come and meet up with her father in Medina Sharif. 2 years, the Sahaba were making hijrat. Second year of hijrat, Badr took place. She can't come and meet up with her father. Circumstances did not permit. Abul As ibn Rabi, he came fighting with the enemy. He was not a Muslim at that time. He comes, he's captured. Each one had to pay a certain amount of ransom. Those that didn't have ransom had to teach 10 children how to read and write. Abul As ibn Rabi sends a message home, I need something to ransom my freedom. So he comes and he presents and he gives Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a necklace. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at the necklace. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart, Allahu Akbar, this is my wife's necklace. Khadija radiallahu anha. My Khadija, this is a necklace. Where this came from? My eldest daughter, it went to her. And now she sent it to ransom for her husband. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sahaba, you people have a haq. I ask you permission. Imagine, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I ask you permission. Can I return this necklace and make a deal with him? Please return my daughter to me. Please return my daughter to me. 2 years after Hijrat. Can we understand the sacrifice that was given? Lengthy incident, time doesn't permit. Her brother-in-law Kinana is given instruction. Take her and send her back. As he is taking her, they are intercepted. Habbar ibn Aswad, he pokes the camel that she's sitting on, and that camel begins to jump and buck. She falls off onto a stone. She was pregnant, expecting. She aborts, she bleeds profusely. Ulama say, few years later, she passed away with the same wound. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam buried her with his own hands. That same daughter, because of Hijrat. Abu Sufyan comes. Kinana took out his arrow and his bow. He said, don't come close. He comes. He said, let's negotiate. You did things the wrong way. Take us secretly. Long discussion. He said, okay. He took us secretly. And lengthy discussion of how it was done, the handover, etc. In a very, very stealthily way, they had to hand over. Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu came to collect her. And she went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. Brothers, great sacrifice was given for deen. Physical sacrifice. Allah Pak wants a sacrifice from us also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَ وَالْذُنُوبِ. A true muhajir is that person that goes from a life of disobedience to a life of obedience. Brothers, this is a time. This is a time. Like Sahaba had no time. This is a time we have to make the decision now. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not next week. Now I must decide that Asr namaz I'm going to be here. Because Salah is the first thing after Iman. Maghrib namaz I'm going to be here. If I'm not here, wherever I am, my Asr, I can't miss it. Tomorrow Fajr Salah. I have to make a decision now. You know, the ulama have written, an entire article is going around. What has brought this problem? Each one is doing his own investigation. What could have brought this problem? And this one hadith, really, I've mentioned it before also. إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. When riba and zina, interest, usury, and when fornication, and zina on the phone also. Zina, illicit relationships also. Zina is playing with other people's wife on the paddle court also, in other sport. Zina is freely intermingling. إِذَا ظَهَرَ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ. In any place when this happens, then they have pushed the buttons for Allah Ta'ala to open the doors of His adab. Allah save us and protect us. Tawbah istighfar. Ulama are saying excessive tawbah. Sincere tawbah. Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Every day we get in news. Hijacking took place here. Crowd is gathering here. There's threats of looting happening there. What is going to happen in 2 weeks' time? What is going to happen in 1 week's time? It's not going to affect one or two people, my brothers. It's not going to affect only the businessmen. It's going to affect everybody. We have to do something. First, tawbah istighfar. Let us not think that we're sleeping and wake up in the morning, we're fine, so everything is fine. It's not fine, brothers. I am not saying on my own strength. I am talking on the strength of senior ulama. Senior ulama of this country. I'm talking on their strength and I'm appealing to you. Tawbah and istighfar, nothing less than 500 times a day. Shed tears, make those tears come out. Make it come out, even if it's false tears, make it come out. Allah, accept this false tears. Allah, if it's not coming out from the heart, accept it from my tongue, accept the false tear from my eye. If it's equal to the head of a fly also, ulama say, inshallah, that will be enough. But sincere tawbah istighfar. And secondly, brothers, the masjid is supposed to be filled. The masjid is supposed to be filled. Just like Jummah is fard, special virtue for Jummah. But Asar is also fard. Fajr is also fard. And I want to remind you that that person that reads his Fajr Salah in the masjid with Jamaat, he is under Allah's protection. Allah is protecting him. No security, not ADT, not fidelity. Allah is protecting him. Don't be assured that I have this one side, I have that one side, I got this tool and that tool and I'm okay. No, brothers, if we have Allah, إِيَّنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, nobody can run over you. إِيَّنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If Allah's help is with you, no one can harm you. We need Allah's help. So the lesson of Hijrat is, just like Sahaba made sacrifice, we also should make sacrifice. They moved from their birthland, from Makkah Mukarramah, they left the Kaaba Sharif, and they made that Hijrah to Madinah Sharif. Today, brothers, there's an earnest appeal, and a very necessary appeal, and we should take it to heart, that today we make that decision. Allah, I am a muhajir today for you. I am moving from a life of sin, and I am going to the life of obedience. Tubtu ilayk, nastaghfiruka Allahumma wa natubu ilayk. Allah, we make istighfar. Allah, we turn to you. I will conclude. I know I'm taking extra time. With a lesson of hope and an incident of hope. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba this, he recorded in the books of hadith, that Kifl was a man from the Banu Israel. لا يتورع عن ذنب عمله. He never stayed away from sin. Any sin he did it. Until one day he was about to make zina. So he paid this woman 60 gold coins. She was desperate. And he was about to make zina. He was all alone with her. And she started to shiver and shake. When she started to shiver and shake, he said to her, did I force you? Ukrihti, were you forced to do this? She said, no. But this is something I never did in my life. That words of hers struck him. He said, take the money and go. After that, he made tawbah. He said, oh Allah, forgive me. The hadith says he never make a lengthy tawbah, long. He made a short dua. He said, oh Allah, I sinned my whole life. Allah, forgive me. Allah changed the whole thing for him. That same night he passed away. Now imagine in the community, everybody will be talking, this man is a big sinner. Who will want to do his janazah? Who will want to read his salah? The hadith says, فَأَصْبَحَ مَكْتُوبًا عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ. On his door, miraculously, Allah made it written there, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ الْكِفْلِ. Allah has forgiven Kifl. For the whole community to know Allah has forgiven him. Brothers, if we turn to Allah, Allah will forgive us. Allah will change the conditions. But let us be sincere. Allah give you, give me, give all of us the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ